With the 20th pick in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select.
You're listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast, presented by AAA.
Every athlete has a journey. Focus on the game. Let us worry about getting you there. Auto repair, roadside assistance, and auto insurance. Start your journey at AAA.com. Well, it is the Journey to the Draft podcast coming to you now officially from Mobile, Alabama. I'm Bo Wolf alongside Fran Duffy from the comfy residence of the Holiday Inn in downtown Mobile, Alabama. I'm using my Holiday Inn notepad, but I am also keeping a vestige of the East-West Shrine Game, my Grand Plaza Hotel pen, Fran. But really, we are with the big boys now here at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, no question about it. As we came over that bridge driving down Route 10 West, it was good to be back here in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl.
The downtown Mobile, Alabama scene right now is basically vacant except for every single NFL personnel person you can possibly think of.
Yeah, everybody except for the two Super Bowl teams, I would imagine, has all their top decision makers here. And it's quite a scene as you're walking through hotel lobbies and going to restaurants and bars and everything all over the city. It's all, you know, basically the top decision makers around the league. It's quite an experience.
All right, well, let's get to it, really, because we've got a lot to get to here as we set the scene, set the stage for this week's action here at the Reese's Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Practices and weigh-ins begin tomorrow on Tuesday. Then we'll have 3 days of coverage here from the live practices from the Senior Bowl. We will have plenty of prospect interviews, plenty of interviews with draft analysts, draft experts, and, of course, play-by-plays of the action. And, of course, our podcast here, the Journey to the Draft podcast. All right, well, let's take a second now to gather ourselves, try to get back into the flow here, because it's time for Draft Buzz.
Now it's time for Draft Buzz.
All right, really two things to get to here, Fran. Let's start with the underclassmen and the official list of underclassmen from the NFL coming out. 74 names on that list, a far cry from the 97 from last year. I think this is the first time the number hasn't been higher than the year before in
7 years, I believe it was.
7 years, so there you go. Still some good players, of course. We don't want to go through everyone. Obviously, we've got a long time to do that between now and May's NFL draft. But beyond the big names like Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston, who are three names who jump out on you?
Well, the first, I've got two corners here. Obviously, the secondary is going to be a huge area of interest for Eagles fans throughout the spring. In the first corner, Jalen Collins from LSU. I've gotten a lot of questions about him in the past. 6'2", 198 pounds, has top-end speed, really just a twitched-up kid, great change of direction, loose hips, has the ability to turn and run with receivers downfield, has great ball skills, was never really a full-time starter for LSU, but they just produce defensive backs left and right, and you know the competition that they've got there in that defense. The big thing with Collins will be, can he be more consistent with his technique and really also as a tackler? He's got to get a little bit better. So that'll be one of the big questions with Collins. And it's also a similar question with Lorenzo Doss, who is a junior cornerback that declared 5'11", 187 pounds, a little bit on the lighter side. But again, athletically is what you want. He can hit pocket and man coverage, can play downfield, has the ball skills, has a lot of good production on the ball over his three-year career with Tulane. Really the things you want to see him improve on, his instincts, which – you know, that's a big debate whether or not that kind of thing can improve as you jump levels here. And then it's a tackler. You want to see him get better. And then the third guy I want to talk about, and this is one of the bigger names. He's been tossed around as a first-round pick already in a lot of the early mock drafts by some of the big experts around the country here. But that's Mississippi State linebacker Benardrick McKinney, 6'5", 250 pounds, instinctive, great tackler, does everything you want inside the box. The big question for him will be, going into the combine, how much of an athlete is he? Can he move in space? Can he run down the field? I've seen him run downfield, as a hook defender and run with tight ends down the seam. It'll be interesting to see how teams view him as the process unfolds.
All right, so again, a long time to go here before we have to delve too deep into those underclassmen, but a good overview of some under-the-radar guys there by you, friend. Let's now turn our attention back here to where we are, the reason we're here, the Reese's Senior Bowl. Some late adds, some late additions over the weekend since our last podcast when we had the pleasure of welcoming in Phil Savage, the director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. Let's go through those new additions here at quarterback. The sixth man, unfortunately not Marcus Mariota, but Nick Marshall from Auburn, certainly an athletic player, but maybe not. Well, he's going to have a chance to answer some questions about his arm strength throughout the week. At wide receiver, Ronnell Hall from Central Florida. Three tight ends, Casey Pierce from Kent State, C.J. Uzomah from Auburn, and Devin Mahina from BYU, following in the wonderful footsteps of Kanakua Friel from the Shrine Game last year.
God bless you for remembering that.
I was actually pretty impressed with that myself.
Yeah.
Along the offensive line, center Chris Jaspers from Marshall and Trenton Brown, a swing tackle guard from Florida. And then a pair of players we saw last week at the East-West Shrine Game, Dylan Day, a guard from Mississippi State, and Tayo Fabulajay from TCU. And a friend, I think we were both surprised to see these two guys get invites among all the linemen who were at the Shrine Game last week. Neither one really stood out to me in a positive light.
Yeah, I mean, Fabulajay obviously has that size. You know, I think he's in the 6'6". You know, he's in the, he's got to be 335 plus. I mean,
he's
a big
monster.
He's a big guy. So I guess scouts wanted to get an extra look at him. Dylan
he was
Day,
getting killed last week, though.
Yeah, man. I mean, he struggled last week. So
where's my boy Darian Miller?
Darian Miller.
Skinny legs.
You know, B.J. Finney. B.J. Finney didn't get the call up either. So yeah, it's actually one of the questions I regret that we didn't get a chance to ask Phil Savage. If we run into him this week, he's a busy man. He's all over the place this week. But if we do run into him, I may ask him what exactly goes into that process as he looks at the other All-Star games before the Senior Bowl. Does that factor in into the process of adding on guys late to the roster?
All right, along the defensive line, Marcus Hardison from Arizona State. Za'Darius Smith, who we saw last week at the Shrine Game from Kentucky.
Who replaced his teammate, Bud Dupree, who was supposed to be down there, fellow defensive end.
Yeah, disappointing not to see Dupree here. We will hear from Za'Darius Smith in a little bit. Amarlo Herrera from Georgia, also at the Shrine Game, who we will also hear from later in the show. Jeff Luck from Cincinnati, formerly of the U.
Florida State.
Okay, apologize. At safety, Anthony Jefferson from UCLA. And then finally another player who we talked about plenty last week at the Shrine Game, Josh Shaw, the cornerback from USC. And this addition makes a lot of sense because he didn't have the senior season to play with, to put the tape on. So it makes sense that scouts would want to see him more up close.
No question. Now you get some more additional reps there from Shaw. So it'll be another big week for him.
All right, well, we move on from the buzz to really our overlook, our preview sort of the players who are here at the Senior Bowl. And what we want to do, Fran, is as quickly as we can, go through position by position the rosters that are here. We'll each name one player at each position who we think potentially the Eagles could have some interest in. The sickness continues.
And again, this is not – we don't know anything about what the Eagles – who the Eagles want, what exactly they're looking for. This is all guessing off of what we've seen week in, week out.
I mean, we don't even have a general manager now, so we don't even know what to expect.
Exactly.
So definitely keep in mind that you are listening to the conjecture of two fools. All right.
The sickness continues.
All right, a quarterback, why don't you start us off since you had first pick?
All right, so quarterback, I want to talk about Blake Sims. This will be a big thing for him because obviously, and it starts actually tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning. We're recording this Monday night. The weigh-in process and what happens.
One
is
of the creepiest hours of my year annually. It is awkward.
Yeah, well, you know, you see all these guys come out in their underwear.
Talk about
and get,
the sickness.
Get weighed and measured and, you know, go through the whole shebang. Blake Sims listed at 6 foot. Will he reach that plateau? Will he be under 6 foot? We shall see. A couple years ago, we had Russell Wilson here, and he came in under 5'11", and that was a big, you know, one of the big gasps from the crowd. Obviously, he's going to his second Super Bowl, so that
shouldn't hurt him
too much. But 6 foot, 208 pounds.
Game.
Yeah, I know. You're upset still about this. But surprising poise in the pocket for a guy who's only a one-year starter. Obviously, as a former running back, has the athleticism you like. Does, you know, goes through reads in the pocket, makes anticipation throws. Really one of the more intriguing players in this quarterback class, as we've talked about over the last week. Isn't great overall.
I will go with someone we talked about earlier, Nick Marshall, and I think this is actually probably more of an indictment of the rest of the quarterback class here than it is anything great about Nick Marshall. I mean, Sean Mannion from Oregon State, Bryce Petty from Baylor, who we've talked about a little bit, Shane Carden from East Carolina, and Garrett Grayson from Colorado State, who you like. Those are the other guys. But I don't really see any of them as real fits for the Eagles. Nick Marshall, maybe on day three, if the Eagles want to take a chance on somebody with that athletic upside. Of course, played cornerback at Georgia before transferring. He's got the athleticism. Maybe if you feel like you can retool his mechanics and get him to be more of an accurate, decisive passer, 2-3 years down the road, it could be worth the investment.
And you mentioned that he was a former cornerback for Georgia. A lot of the league insiders, you know, with NFL Network, ESPN, report that people think that his best position at the next level may be defensive back. So this is a big week for Marshall if he hopes to play quarterback at the next level.
All right, well, let's go to running back, where I will stick with the Nebraska running back, Amir Abdullah, the ultra-productive Amir Abdullah. Not much to say about him, really, other than that he was one of, if not the best running back in college football the last two seasons. He's maybe a little bit smaller than you would like, but he's quick. He's got that make-you-miss ability, and I think we both agree that we would not be surprised if in this extremely deep class of running backs, if the Eagles address the position at some point.
Yeah, we talked about that in the past, and it could be something that they do look to address. Abdullah kind of reminds me of Andre Ellington coming out of Clemson a couple years ago, and the big thing with Ellington has been injuries and being able to stay healthy. So at his size, it'll be interesting to see how Abdullah is valued on draft day. But the guy I'm going to go with at that position, David Cobb out of Minnesota, 5'11", 220-plus pounds, physical, no-nonsense runner, really balanced, has good vision, can get skinny through a hole, catches better than you would think for a bigger back. I know Josh Norris has compared him to a Le'Veon Bell type of runner. I don't know that necessarily he's as fluid the athlete that Bell was coming out of Michigan State, but Cobb's a guy I really, really like. Creates his own yardage because of his balance, because of his ability to maintain his balance after contact is very, very good. So I really, really was impressed with Cobb. I'm excited to see how he does this week. And we've talked about how it's tough for those running backs to shine in practices for these All-Star games. But at wide receiver, the guy I wanted to go with, Sammy Coates, the wide receiver from Auburn, 6'2", 201 pounds, everything you want athletically. I mean, this guy jumps out of the gym. He's got explosive speed, a great short area burst, has everything you want from an athletic standpoint. The big question will be his hands. And that's been a question that's the biggest knock on him. Lots of drops on tape. I'm one to think that if a guy can make enough plays to counter those drops, you kind of look past it. But that'll be one of the big questions for Coates this week.
Do you think that Coates is the kind of player who could be in contention at number 20?
Well, that's going to be the question. I mean, the thing is that right now we're in the point of still kind of feeling out how teams feel about players. The board is just getting ready to be stacked now for a lot of these teams. So as that information starts to leak out to all the different insiders, the Daniel Jeremiahs and the Todd McShays and guys like that around the league, you'll start to see how the Adam Kaplans, of course,
the
Tony Paulines, the Bo Wolfs, as they start to leak out, you start to see the mock drafts and see how they plan out. I'll be interested to see where Coates starts to fall. We'll start to get an idea of how teams look to value him.
A lot of good receivers here, although maybe not quite as many as we were hoping, as Kevin White dropped out, among a few others. And one of the other things we've seen is lots of Oregon and Ohio State players dropping out, completely understandably, after they played in their game last week.
Although two extra games.
Tony Washington was able to man up last week at the Shrine Game.
That's
but
good point.
Nonetheless, I'm going to go with Devin Smith, who has not yet dropped down if he's going to. He is on the roster right now, and he is maybe I would say the knock on him is that he's maybe just a one-trick pony as the guy downfield making plays downfield. But I think he's got a chance to prove that he can be more than that, and I think that's an option to the Eagles' offense that they would certainly like to bring back. A guy like Devin Smith maybe could do that. He's got that great deep speed, and he also makes those contested catches down the field.
Maybe the fastest player here. I wonder how much of his decision to come down and play was that he initially wasn't a Senior Bowl invite. He didn't get an invite until much later in the process. I think it was the last round of acceptances Smith was finally invited, but he was initially going to be at the East-West Shrine Game. So maybe he feels a little slighted and he's got something to prove.
I like that. I hope that is the case. All right, at tight end, I'm going to go with Nick Boyle from Delaware, who is not really your move tight end. He's more of a traditional tight end, a very good blocker, an all-around tight end. And the reason I'll go with that is because I think, obviously, the Eagles have their big downfield threat of the future at tight end in Zach Ertz. They've got a young, athletic guy with potential to dream on in Trey Burton, of course, coming off that great special team season. The main blocking tight end, of course, is still the starter, Brent Celek, but he is getting older. I think if you're going to bring in another young tight end to this roster, it's going to be someone in the Celek mold who can do that and complement Ertz well. I think Boyle brings that skill set to the table.
Definitely the classic tight end. I don't have his exact measurements in front of me, but I got to think he's in the 6'4", 260-plus pound range.
Yeah, I mean, by Delaware, he's listed as 6'6", 270, but we will see what he weighs in at tomorrow.
Yeah, so he's probably my favorite tight end that's down here now after all the guys have dropped out. But Boyle, really intriguing guy. The guy I wanted to talk about, Notre Dame tight end Ben Koyak, 6'4", 250-plus pounds. One of those move-type players. He's not the great athlete that Zach Ertz is, but versatile in that he lines up all across the formation. He's got good hands. The big thing is, can he get stronger and improve as a blocker? So that'll be one of the things he'll look to prove this week. Along the offensive line, we split it up into two groups. You got the tackles. And the first one that I wanted to go with was Lael Collins from LSU, 6'4.5", 324 pounds, according to the school's website. Really quick, athletic guy, can get to the second level, can play out in space, finishes blocks consistently, shows a lot of toughness, has really strong hands. The big thing with him is, can he become more consistent with his technique, and can he handle speed rushing on the edge? Collins will have a lot of questions to answer that week or this week from that respect.
And he can play guard and tackle?
He has played guard in the past, so a guy that's got that positional versatility could play inside for the Eagles.
I think that's what you're looking for is that versatility for the Eagles and the athleticism. I will go with another potential first-rounder and some people whispering that he could be the first player selected from the players here at the Senior Bowl. That's TJ Clemmings from Pittsburgh, a big guy, a powerful guy who played right tackle at Pitt. And he's also inexperienced, not in a bad way necessarily, but still room to grow. Only played 2 years on the offensive line at Pitt, started as a reserve defensive end, only played 2 years of football in high school before he earned his way up to number one prospect status in New Jersey. But he is a player who they say is very strong at the point of attack and can move people in the running game. And I guess you wonder if whether he's got the mobility for the Eagles system, whether he could maybe move to guard at some point. But certainly he's one of the best players here.
Yeah, no question about it. He's gonna be one of the guys that I think by the end of the week will be the quote-unquote riser. So it'll be interesting to see how he does this week.
All right. For the interior guys, I am going to go with Shaq Mason from Georgia Tech. I can't tell you too much about him other than the fact that I know that he's supposed to be very good and that I hear from my friends like Fran Duffy that he's a good fit for the Eagles system.
Well, I think that he's a good fit because he comes from that triple option offense. And obviously, look, it's a run-oriented scheme, which is very much like the Eagles. And it needs offensive linemen that can get out on space, that can get up to the second level. And he's able to do that. He's a good cut blocker from the backside on a lot of those zone runs. Just an impressive guy. It'll be interesting to see how he does this week. Played in the Medal of Honor Bowl 2 weeks ago and got the call up to the Senior Bowl late. So really be interesting to see how he pans out this week. The guard that I wanted to talk about, and this guy's played tackle, he's played guard, he's played center, all for Florida. Max Garcia, he's a Maryland transfer, big, powerful guy. He's 6'4", 307 pounds. The big question for him this week, how athletic is he? Can he get out in space, make plays out in the perimeter, at the second level in the screen game and in the perimeter run game? I'll be interested to see how Garcia looks from that respect this week. Along the defensive line, the guy I wanted to talk about, Houston nose tackle Joey Mbeu, 6'3", 317 pounds. This kid's got really, really long arms. He's a nose tackle for that in that 3-4 scheme for the Houston Cougars, a two-gapper. He's got really good strength, plays with surprising technique for a guy from a smaller school, and was a team captain for 2-plus years. The big question, again, how athletic is he? Does he have that positional versatility to play up and down the line? But Mbeu is an intriguing guy.
Long levers or strong levers, Fran?
I've heard that.
Well, with that in mind, I'll go with Henry Anderson, the defensive end from Stanford, who is listed as 6'6", 287. Again, we'll find out what these guys actually weigh in at tomorrow during the weigh-ins. But Henry Anderson, a Pac-12 guy, certainly will have been on Chip Kelly's radar. He's got those long arms. I think you could say that he's maybe in the Taylor Hart mold as a 3-4 defensive end. So he's the one I will go with there. Some pretty good talent, though, on the defensive line here at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah,
well, that'll be an interesting position to watch.
Yeah, no question about it. It's a good group overall of the senior group.
All right. On the outside, I'm going to go with – well, I'm going to steal one of your favorite players here, Fran, mostly because I just want to say his name.
Go for it.
Oamagbe Odighizuwa.
There we go.
I feel like I'm doing that pretty well, actually.
You've been surprisingly good at it. I can't wait to hear Tony say it
tomorrow. Tony is really, really going to struggle. Oamagbe, of course, part of that outstanding UCLA defense. He certainly fits the Eagles' mold with those long arms, able to play the run very well, and we'll see what he does this year. I mean, he is a player where, for the Eagles at least, would be a tough decision as to whether he would be a 3-4 end or an outside pass rusher. You think he'd be on the outside?
Yeah, I think he could play outside. The big thing with him, look, on field, he's what you want. I mean, he is a true football player in every sense of the word, does everything really, really well. The big thing will become combine time when he gets in front of those doctors from a physical standpoint. He had double hip surgery just over a year and a half ago. It'll be really interesting to see what the doctors think of him, if he's able to pass physicals and things like that. I'm not a doctor. I don't know how those things work. So I'll be interested to see what
you'll
the,
have plenty of time to talk about him this week.
Are. No question about it. So Diggy Zua, definitely an intriguing guy. Another intriguing guy, Harvard outside linebacker Zach Hodges, 6'2 and a half, 235 pounds. This is not your classic Ivy League player. This kid's got legit talent. Great
what
short
are you
area
he's
burst.
Not smart?
Well, I'm just saying, look, you know, we've seen some of these Ivy League players come down. Look, they had the kid Caron Reed from Princeton last year, who was a nice player. I think he was a third or fourth round pick of the Lions. 2 years ago, he had Kyle Juszczyk from Harvard, who
Correct.
Was a fullback tight end, ended up with the Ravens. You know, and he's kind of a limited player. He kind of looked like an Ivy League player.
I would call him limited.
Yeah. This kid, however, not that. You know, this kid's got legit talent. Can bend the edge, has a good short area burst, comes off the ball really well, has a plethora of pass rush moves, has a high motor. Really the big thing you want to see from him at 235 pounds, can he consistently set the edge? So how he does in those run drills this week will be really big for him. On the inside at linebacker, a five-star recruit from the state of Ohio, ended up at University of Texas. That's Jordan Hicks, 6'1", 249 pounds. So he's got the size you want from the inside, but he's athletic too. Can play sideline to sideline. Very instinctive guy, has a good tackler, can play in the box and take on offensive linemen. The big thing, just like a Diggy Zua, is injuries. You know, he's missed, I believe it's three seasons. He's ended the season not on injured reserve, but with a season-ending injury.
That
I believe
sounds
it was
great.
An Achilles injury a couple years ago, a hip injury the year before that. So, you know, the staying healthy will be big for him. But when he's been on the field, Jordan Hicks has been a difference maker for Texas.
I'm not sure you sold me on him after that litany of injuries.
He's a very, very talented football player.
All right. Well, the inside linebacker position, at least for the Eagles speaking, an inside linebacker, one of the positions that's taken the biggest hits here at the Senior Bowl with guys like Eric Kendricks, Michael's brother, dropping out for injury, Ramique Wilson from Georgia dropping out. I'm going to go with Stephon Anthony from Clemson, 6'3", 245 is what he's listed at. Seems like he's got the requisite size that the Eagles might want. The question for him, like it is with all these inside linebackers, can they cover? Can they be three-down guys? All right, on the outside at cornerback now, one of the players who I actually did get a chance to watch with you, friend, one of my favorite players that we watched together, and that would be Eric Rowe from Utah, a big corner who is listed at 6'1", may come in a little bit closer to 6', but played safety in the beginning of his career at Utah, moved to the outside this year, and he is smooth on the outside. We watch, you know, it takes two snaps to watch a guy on tape to see whether he's just smooth in his back pedal at corner, and he looked good. And this is different than the Stanley Jean Baptistes or the Keith McGills
last year,
Keith McGill, a fellow Utah guy, who were just sort of, it seemed like everybody wanted to do the copycat, Richard Sherman is a tall corner, let's find our own tall corner stuff. Those guys didn't really look like they belonged on the outside. I think Eric Rowe does look like he belongs on the outside. He's also, importantly from my perspective, not an old guy like a lot of the Utah players are. He's of age. He's a good player. So I think the question for him this week will be, is he a corner or a safety? I think he's a corner, and I think he could intrigue the Eagles.
Rowe is definitely one of the top one or two corners here. And the guy that's battling him for that spot, another guy who's going to have a lot to prove this week, from Miami of Ohio, 6', 209 pounds, Quentin Rollins, a former basketball player, was a four-year starter at point guard for the Redhawks in the MAC conference. Athletic, fluid hips, can hip pocket with receivers downfield, shows really great change of direction, shows the ability to go up and get the ball, has good ball skills, physical, you know, is able to defend the run, has all the tools that you want. The question is, can he play at the next level? You know, does he have the consistent technique? Does he have the ability to take the next step after only playing college football for 1 year? Rollins will have a lot to prove this week against the top competition.
All right, who's your safety?
At safety, I like Curtis Drummond, the kid out of Michigan State. Was a three-year starter for them, I believe. He's 6', 204 pounds, really instinctive guy. Played a number of coverages that, you know, the Eagles play. Not that, you know, that's a rare thing, but, you know, played a lot of quarters, cover three, played man coverage, shows that he can tackle, has good ball skills. So one of those, you know, you talk about in baseball, those five-tool guys, he's one of those players at the safety position. Almost very much, and it's strange, he reminded me a little bit of Malcolm Jenkins, and I know Jenkins played corner at Ohio State. Obviously, you know, Drummond's playing safety, but just the way that he moved reminded me of Malcolm Jenkins. The question is consistency. Can he continue to do that at the next level? I think, you know, he's not necessarily one of those Clinton Dix types that's going to go in the top 20 picks, but Drummond's a guy that intrigues me.
Well, you mentioned looking for something similar to Malcolm Jenkins. That's why I'm going with Adrian Amos from Penn State, who did play 2.5 seasons at cornerback before making the transition to safety in his junior season. Had a pretty good year this year. I guess the questions for him will be one, size. He's listed at 6 foot, might come in a little under that. And then can he be a physical tackler? I guess we won't really find that out during practice. But come the game, looking on the tape, the question for Amos will be, can he hold up in the run game? But he should be pretty good against the pass. All right, well, that'll do it for our look at the quick rundown of the position-by-position guys here at the Senior Bowl. Let's now travel back in time last week to the Shrine Game when we talked to future senior bowler Za'Darius Smith from Kentucky. It's one more unofficial visit.
The unofficial visit.
All right, well, in the shadows of an oncoming downpour, we're here with Za'Darius Smith, the pass rusher from Kentucky. Za'Darius, give us the scouting report on what kind of player you are.
I'm a great player, man. I like to play the run a lot, man. And just getting out here, man, it's working, just working on my pass game.
Obviously, we know you are an edge guy. Do you feel like you fit better 4-3, 3-4, anything like that?
3-4, 4-3, it doesn't matter, man, as long as I get out there and get some playing time.
What is your favorite thing to do on the field?
Play the run. Play the run and get hit them running backs.
Usually, you know, from a pass rusher, we hear, yeah, sack the quarterback. Why do you like playing the run more?
Just because my past year, I played the 4-I. I didn't play a lot of pass last year, but I did play the 4-I in that run game. Got a lot of that tackle, man, and just keying the tackle, tip of the pad, and just hitting the quarterbacks and the running backs.
What do you think are your greatest strengths as a prospect?
Pass rusher and a run stopper.
And what do you need to work on?
Basically, just getting after the quarterback more.
Okay. How about expectations for the combine for maybe even come May in the draft? Where do you expect to go? How do you expect to perform?
I can't focus on that right now, man. My main focus is getting out here, man, working hard each and every day.
What's it like going up against a new batch of guys who you've never seen before?
It's great. It's a learning process, man, and just getting a chance to see guys from the ACC, man, and see how they work.
And then finally, give us the scouting report on your teammate, the big left tackle there.
Darren Miller, he's a good player, man, and I enjoyed him while we was at our time at Kentucky, man, and he's also a great pass setter.
All right, well, Za'Darius Smith, thanks for joining us, and best of luck.
Now it's time for Pick 6.
Well, for today's Pick 6, since we're going to have an entire week to talk about the players who are here, and we just talked plenty about them before in the previous segment, we want to take a little bit of a look back at the past Senior Bowls that we've been to, Fran. This is our Pick 6, our 6 Senior Bowl crushes from years past. Now, this will be my 5th Senior Bowl. I came for the first time in 2011. This will be your 4th Senior Bowl.
That's correct.
You came in 2012. So I got to go a little bit further back than you. And I think this will show us really that, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day, and I really am a fool. But 2011, I had 3, actually, but I'm going to give you my 2 first. They were at the same position. One of them was a midweek replacement from Stanford at cornerback. Stanford, not Stanford. His name was Richard Sherman, and I didn't hear a lot of buzz about him. I saw this tall, long guy running with people, making plays on the ball. Didn't see him get beat deep. I thought this guy could be pretty good. Well, he was a 5th-round pick, of course. You know what happened next. He became the best cornerback in football.
Became a decent player.
So I feel good about that. What I don't feel good about is that he was my 2nd favorite corner of the week. My favorite was Kendrick Burney from UNC, who had a ton of picks, was all over the ball. Kendrick Burney was 5'9". He ran a 4.7 40 at the combine. He had been kicked off the team his senior season. He went undrafted. He never played a game in the NFL. So That tells you.
The sickness continues.
The sickness has continued for a long time.
All right, well, that's pretty good. I don't have the my highs and lows.
Kendrick
aren't
Burney
that
also
bad.
Looked like Dave Chappelle. I felt like that was in his.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go there. But the two guys that I picked, and this was for my first Senior Bowl, this is 2012, two guys on the defensive line. One guy ended up being a mid-round pick for the Tennessee Titans. 6'1", 307 pounds, out of Michigan.
Oh, I know exactly who this is. Mike Martin.
Mike Martin, who tore up, ended up tearing up the combine.
I remember watching his tape with you.
That's right. He was one of the best guys on the bench press that year.
Yeah.
Just came down and was really, really good. One of those fire hydrant type players. And he plays in a reserve role for the Titans, but I really liked Martin. I thought he had a really, really good week of practice. And the other guy, all you guys will know, 6'3", 265 pounds, out of Marshall, Vinnie Curry. Vinnie Curry had a really strong week of practice down here. I really liked him on tape, too, as a high-motor pass rusher. And Vinny's turned into a really good player as one of the best pass rushers on this Eagles team. So two guys from that same group that I really, really liked.
All right, my third draft crush, I'm actually going to go back to 2011 once again.
Oh, no.
And this is the one where I'm copping out a little bit because this is the one player where everybody fell in love with him at the Senior Bowl. The rest of them, I feel like they were a little bit more mine. But this was Cameron Jordan from California who came here. Ended up being a first-round pick of the Saints, going to the Pro Bowl, is one of the better defensive linemen in the league. He was so good here. Every single rep he took, he was killing people and everything. And I couldn't believe he lasted to, I think, 24th overall is where he went. He was he really lit a fire underneath me.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. And here's another. Here's a guy that I'm going to go back to my first year, 2012, a guy that I didn't really fall in love with until we got a chance to talk to him. And that is quarterback Russell Wilson, 5'10", 207 pounds.
Such a cop-out.
He came out, and when we got a chance to talk to him, and he – I remember it was towards the end of the player availability after practice, and he was just getting mobbed by scout after scout after scout after camera after camera after camera. He came over, and he spent close to 10 minutes with us because you were actually interviewing somebody else at the time when I initially grabbed him. So he sat and shot the breeze with me for, 5-6 minutes.
He was
and
nice
then went
to
on
you,
to talk
all.
To you. He was great. So – Russell Wilson, definitely the guy.
The thing I remember about the Russell Wilson interview was that I asked him about the size, and he already had his stock answer about how he played behind the biggest offensive line at Wisconsin in the league and never had a pass tipped or whatever it was.
Well, because you looked at him eye to eye.
Yeah. I mean.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
There you go.
You're copping out. You're going off of the interview, not the performance.
Well, I mean, you got to take everything into account.
All right. Fair enough. All right. 2012, that same year. I had a couple options here. I really liked a couple of linebackers. I remember liking Nigel Bradham from Florida State and James Michael Johnson from Nevada a lot.
That's right.
But the player that I remember as my favorite of the week, and this is something where I think that I'm very susceptible. Looking back on these rosters, I tend to really fall for the nose tackles, the big guys who can move a little bit, have quick feet, but are really strong. Alameda Tamu from Washington was awesome. He also, I guess, like Bernie, not super great character. He was kicked around the Steelers practice squad, bouncing back and forth, ended up in Arizona. I think he's only played a few games in his
played
career,
good,
three
played
starts.
Played a good role for them last year in 2013.
Last year he had three starts for the Cardinals. I guess he was kicked back to the bench, but he was great. You've also got who was the Georgia one from a couple of years ago? Jarvis Jenkins.
Ended up in New Orleans. That's right.
Those guys, Dan Williams, even from a year before that I even went to the Senior Bowl. Those nose tackles, for some reason, they really wet my whistle.
It's funny that you brought up Tamu. When I remember watching Tamu his senior year coming out of Washington, and there was this freshman that kept making plays for them. And I'm like, who is this kid? It was Danny Shelton.
Danny Shelton, who is now here.
So Danny Shelton is a guy to definitely watch this week and fits that mold of guys that you like. I'm going to go back. This one's 2013, so now 2 years ago. Two offensive linemen. I'm going to double dip here. Brian Schwenke.
You'll dip your beak.
Brian Schwenke out of Cal, 6'3", 307 pounds.
I remember that was a Zierlein favorite.
Yep, and he had a really good week. He really held his own in one-on-ones down here. And then another guy who was a late add in the middle of the week, and he got here and he didn't have a helmet, and we were watching him like, who is this kid at tackle who keeps – he's holding his own. I think he was going up against Quentin Copels, some of the other pass rushers from that draft.
Was it Rashad Johnson?
No, but it was Jordan Mills out of Louisiana Tech.
I thought about Jordan Mills.
Yeah, and Jordan Mills, and he stood out. I think he ended up being a third-round pick of the Bears. I think he's definitely started as a rookie, and I think he missed some time with injury this year. But Mills was a guy who really stood out a couple years ago.
All right, 2013 for me. This was another first-round pick, so a little bit of a cop-out. I think with him I was maybe chasing the dream of Cameron Jordan, chasing the ghost And it's Dayton Jones from UCLA, who was similarly very impressive that week.
Yes, he was.
He, I guess, has had an injury-riddled career so far. Yep. He's only played in three games in two seasons after he was a first-round pick of the Packers. But he was another player who really really just dominated every day.
He was very, very good. Another guy who dominated from the defensive line. This is from last year's
draft. I think that's telling you, like, the defensive lineman is really, really where I spend my attention, I guess.
Yeah, well, this guy, I think you would agree, dominated here last year. His season, his senior tape was outstanding. His Senior Bowl week was outstanding. His combine was outstanding. This is my number six, the last guy. Aaron Donald from Pitt just came down,
absolutely.
And he was just dominant in every drill, whether it was run defense, whether it was pass pro one-on-one, whether it was team drills. He dominated everything. Aaron Donald was outstanding last year.
All right, my last one from last year. I guess I'm basically all defensive linemen and cornerbacks, but this is a cornerback. And another guy who had the size we were looking for at the time, and when we put on the tape, he looked so smooth out there. And that's our old friend Walt Akins from Liberty.
Yes.
A fourth-round pick of the Dolphins. Played in all 15 games this year. I guess he was mostly a special teams guy this season.
Yes.
But Walty Akins, oh, man.
That's right.
I remember, because we watched his tape, and I was just really looking forward to seeing him out there. And he looked very good. I thought he was one of the better corners here last year.
That's a good call.
All right. Well, from there, from that trip down memory lane, we take one more trip down memory lane to much more recent times. Once again, last week at the East-West Shrine Game, one more unofficial visit with another future Senior Bowler. This is Georgia linebacker Amarlo Herrera.
The unofficial visit.
All right, Amarlo Herrera here, Georgia linebacker. And Amarlo, how has the Shrine Game week gone for you so far?
Oh, it's been fun. It's exciting to get out here with different players from all over the world and compete.
So for fans who have never seen you play before, give us the scouting report. What do you do well? What do you need to work on?
Fast linebacker, play down here, great instincts, smart. Just need to work on taking angles and staying low sometimes.
In today's NFL, obviously, just as important to be able to cover as a linebacker as it is to come forward and play the run. Do you feel like you do that well?
Yeah, I feel I can do that well, but I'm working on that more and more so I can be prepared when I get out there with the big boys.
When you go to bed at night dreaming about your favorite play, is it sacking the quarterback or is it making an interception, taking it to the house?
It's probably sacking the quarterback. Get back there, beat somebody, then sack somebody and have fun celebrating.
Any expectations for you going through the draft process, hopes of what you hope to run or anything, or when you want to come off the board?
No, just going to do the best I can do, and whatever happens, happen.
All right, last question we like to ask everybody. Who's the best player you played this season?
Probably Matt Jones. Matt Jones is one of the best players we played this year.
All right, Amarlo, best of luck throughout the draft process. Maybe we'll see you in Philadelphia one day.
On the clock.
Well, it's time for On the Clock, as you heard the bumper there, wherein we play some kind of game, and we've done over-unders before. We've done some other stuff. Today we're going to do Who Am I, in which I give Fran some clues to players here at the Senior Bowl.
And play along. Feel free to play along
Feel
as you're listening.
Feel free to play
see
along.
See if you can figure this out. Let's see how well you know the Senior Bowl class thus far as we get this week started.
These are going to be tough, though. Now, my favorite bio – now, of course, I'm going off my – many, many pages of printed out bios here, which I was reading on the plane next to Fran, as he saw, using my highlighter and going through. One of the things I've learned here is that there are certain schools now that I dislike only because they have terrible bio presentations. Either they're not updated. Like, Ohio State has not updated anything since the beginning of the season. What are you doing?
It's so helpful when guys have, when you go to look at their pages and they're completely updated up to the current date. And then you have guys that haven't updated since the fall. That's
and then some of them are terrible layouts, like Arkansas's. Like, it prints out 8 pages instead of – it's terrible. Terrible. I give credit to the Auburns and the Stanfords of the world that really keep up with their stuff.
Clearly first world
problems. Penn State, shout out to Penn State. They do a very good job.
There you go.
All right. So a lot of my favorite ones I actually already sort of gave away to Fran on the plane because I was excited to read them. For instance, Josh Harper, the wide receiver here. Who knew? He's the brother of Matt Harper, the assistant special teams coach
for
the Eagles. Well, so maybe we'll have a little fun with that later on. But these are going to be ones that we haven't talked about yet, friends. So the first one, number one, he was a league champion in high school in judo.
Okay. One clue.
Okay.
Oh, wait. This is Haole Kikaha.
That is exactly correct.
I'm sick.
The sickness continues. Washington pass rusher. Haole Kikaha.
I'll be interested to see if we do talk to him this week, because he's known by a lot of the people online, you know, the draft experts around the country, as a guy who's really, really good with his hands as a pass rusher. I would imagine that judo and his background in judo is a big factor for that.
There you go. 19 sacks as a senior at Washington. Super productive. He reminds me, the violence in the hands from a couple of Senior Bowls ago, if I can go back to memory lane again. I remember Brooks Reed having some of the most violent hands.
Out of Arizona.
Yes. All right.
What were the clues for?
First team All-America and academic All-Pac-12.
There you go. All right.
And then he was the Hawaii Defensive Player of the Year.
Very nice.
In high school. All right. Before making his way to his previous stop in college, he also, in addition to playing college football and junior college, was on the track team at the College of the Sequoias.
The College of the Sequoias. So the junior college. Is it Randy Gregory? No,
he's
Randy,
not
Gregory.
Randy Gregory
is not,
he's
the senior
not here.
Bowl. Randy Gregory was a junior college.
All right, let's go to number two.
Let's go. Go ahead.
He was twice an all Pac-12 honoree.
Pac-12. Played track as a junior college guy.
Todd Bowles. From last year.
That is a really good question. I am going to go with Josh Shaw.
Incorrect.
Okay.
All right, last clue. Has a son named Steven Nelson Jr.
I'm going to go with Oregon State cornerback Steven Nelson.
That's correct.
Very
nicely
nice.
Done.
All right, there you go.
All right.
Good player. He's an interesting guy. I think he's one of the three or four best corners here.
Okay. All right, I'll take that. All right, last one. He hails from the beautiful town of Mobile, Alabama.
Oh, who's the Mobile guy? Is it Jostin Fowler, the fullback from Alabama?
That is correct. He is from Mobile, Alabama. He is not the one I'm going for,
okay.
However.
All right.
But that sick, but impressive. All right.
Okay.
He was named to the Mobile Press Register High School Basketball All-Academic Team.
Sheesh. Jaquiski Tart.
That's correct.
I knew both
you
guys
had
from
it, you had it in the back of your hand.
Yeah,
you, no matter what that thing was.
Sorry.
The last one was three-time All-SoCon honors. Jaquiski Tart, the Samford safety.
Athletic kid. It'll be interesting to see how he does this week.
Yes, it will.
If anyone, right. If anyone matched me, I'll be interested to hear.
If anyone matched you, they can have my job. That would be
right.
Disgusting.
Write it down.
The sickness continues for Fran Duffy. All right, Francis, it's time for the draft mailbag.
Now it's time to hear from you, the fans, in the draft mailbag.
All right, Fran, we've got some questions from Twitter and from the Eagles message board coming our way here. Let's start with Twitter. Kevin Buckley wants to know, who is the best deep threat wide receiver who can catch the ball? Catch in all caps.
All caps. I would say, we talked about him earlier, I would say that that'd be Devin Smith right now. Philip Dorsett from Miami would challenge him for that, but Devin Smith, I think, has shown the ability consistently throughout his college career at Ohio State to be a really, really good deep threat with his ability to go up and catch and get the ball down the field. Donatella Luckett, the receiver from Harding,
yes.
I would look at as another option there.
A track star. I believe he has scored 22 touchdowns in his career, Fran, averaging 49.7 yards on those touchdowns.
Came out of that triple option offense, and he was clearly the beneficiary of a lot of big plays off play action.
Some return ones as well. Have I been soaking in the information from these profiles or what?
You've been, yes. It was very impressive.
All right. Fran, Eagles Fan Talk wants to know about Josh Shaw and his potential to rise up draft boards.
Well, I think that his ability to rise up draft boards. Look, he barely
he's got
played.
The size.
He barely played his senior year, so coming into the season was very highly thought of. Reportedly, didn't play at all. Now he's got a chance to really show himself again as these All-Star games progress. I think that if he comes out and has another good week as he did last week at the Shrine Game. You could see him end up, being, maybe a second, third, fourth round pick. It'll be interesting to see where Shaw ends up, but he's definitely got the size and athleticism.
All right, we'll see how he does this week. I have to say, I was not super impressed with him last week.
Shaw's a guy that will be a very good scheme fit for others, and for other teams, won't be. So it'll be interesting to see.
Is he a scheme fit for us?
Well, he's got the size and he's got the athleticism. So a guy that potentially could fit.
Okay. All right. To the Eagles message board now. Fan since way back asked, based on your personal hypothesis, how focused on the defense will the Eagles be in this year's draft, mainly referring to rounds 1 through 4. Eagles, of course, 5 picks in the first 4 rounds.
Based on my hypothesis, well, I think that obviously this is, you know, it's going to depend on what they do in free agency and, you know, and how the month of March, you know, pans out for the Eagles. But I would expect that you'll see some pick. I mean, look, we saw last year two of the first 3 picks went to the wide receiver position. You saw a pick go towards Darren Sproles, you know, in the 5th round. It'll be interesting to see how much they decide to add to the offensive side. I think that defense would make more sense. So, yeah,
well, Fran, you know that the Eagles are going to take the best player on their board, regardless of position.
If Bo Wolf was in charge, that absolutely would be the case, and they'd all be 24 years old or younger.
That's definitely true. Let me ask you this question.
You would be very easy to predict if you were opposing general managers. They would just be able to cross off everybody that's 24 and older.
Anyone who's 24 or older just shouldn't be picked.
There you go.
So,
yeah.
I mean, they're doing themselves a favor.
It's a debate for another day.
All right. Well, it wouldn't be that hard. There'd still be a lot of guys left.
It's true.
Let me ask you this question. I'm not going to say gun to your head or anything. If you had to edit with editing a Tony Pauline piece to your head.
Okay.
Name the one position that the Eagles will address in the first 3 rounds of the draft.
I would say, I would be surprised if offensive line isn't addressed from the first 3 rounds. Is not addressed from the first 3 rounds.
I think I would have the same answer.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, you know, if you want to rope in secondary, you know, corner and safety is one. You know, maybe that would challenge. But I would be surprised if.
I think I would still go offensive line.
Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah. All right. Next question comes to us from Fresh629. He wants to know what kind of player do you think the Eagles want as far as a pass rusher goes?
Well, I think that, you know, when you look at look at what Chip Kelly has said during the Kellistrator segments, talking about guys like Trent Cole and
what
Brandon
show is
Graham
that on
and Connor Barwin. That's on Eagles Game Plan.
Who produces that?
I think Fran Duffy does.
Oh, that's a good show.
Shameless plug. Thank you. But if you listen to how Coach Kelly talks about the outside linebacker position, they want guys that can rush the passer, stop the run, and then drop in coverage. And so you want guys that can do all three, and stopping the run is a big thing. So you can't just be a one-trick pony, and I don't think you want a guy that's going to be really, really stiff either. I would imagine a guy with long arms. We talked about the long levers. And so, you know, those are kind of some of the traits that you can tend to look for. You know, in some of these pass rushers. Sounds, and this is a really, really good group of pass rushers in this draft, both with the senior group and the junior group guys that declared.
Sounds to me like Owamagbe Odigizua.
Potentially. We'll see.
All right, our last question comes from Swifty. Swifty wants to know, the team will need some offensive linemen to stock the cupboard. Well, I suppose we agree with that.
Yeah.
Does Fran think All-American Duke guard Lakin Tomlinson is athletic enough to play in this system? Now, let me answer this first. Because he wants to know what you think, not what I think. So, in addition to being offended by that, I'm just going to say no, because it's a Duke player.
It's the Wake Forest Duke.
And
right.
We're not going to let that happen here. So, Swifty, thank you for your question. But no.
That'll be one of the questions Tomlinson has to answer this week, is whether or not he's athletic enough to play in systems like the Eagles system. But in certain schemes like, say, Baltimore, that ask for more powerful defense or offensive linemen and guys that are stout at the point of attack, Tomlinson may be a better fit there right off the bat. Athleticism is a question I'll have to answer this week.
Is Lakin Tomlinson – was he an All-American? Or is he stretching the truth?
I'd have to look that up. You have the bio.
I don't remember.
Unless you just didn't print it because he's from Duke.
Oh, well, I shouldn't have, but I did. Go Green. 6'3", 325 is what he's listed as.
Yes. We'll see. We'll find out tomorrow morning.
I'm not letting him anywhere near the NovaCare complex. No dookies.
There you go.
Sorry, Jameson Crowder. Yeah.
Poor man's Brandon Cooks, some would say.
Really? Would some say that?
Potentially, maybe. I don't know.
I would say a mediocre man's Cole Beasley.
I would say a rich man's Michael Campanaro.
Wow, those are fighting words. That's going to do it for the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA, as Fran and I come to blows here in Mobile, Alabama. We'll see you tomorrow. Full coverage again coming from the Reese's Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. For Fran Duffy, for Za'Darius Smith, and Amarlo Herrera, I'm Bo Wolf.